Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide and direct us through these uncertain times, and may we faithfully serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember the old guys saying, "I remember when"? When gas cost, 25 cents per gallon, and I remember when you could buy 5 McDonald's hamburgers for a dollar. Well, now I'm one of those guys. Anyway, I do remember a lot, and other people remember more. And it is just incredible how times change and how there are patterns to the change. And that gives us a pretty good idea of what will be coming our way. So, what is coming our way? Are we going to have the good old days again? Or is it just useless to even think about the good old days? Well, in a way it is useless, because we deal with what is right in front of us. That's what we do. And we can look back a year or two and we say, "Oh, I wish I had done this or done that." But the reality is, we did not, and the opportunities of yesterday are lost. So, we look to the future. We try to understand what is coming and what the patterns indicate are going to be reoccurring. Well, we want to look at what is real and what is our real situation in life. And we want to deal with reality. And we know that reality can be very harsh, but it is always better to examine the reality of truth than to believe a lie. In 2 Thessalonians 2:11, we are warned about believing a lie. And in these days, there are dark forces that wish to manipulate the truth so that we will believe something that is not real, so that we will believe a lie, so that we well believe a dream in our own mind. That's what the dark forces want to encourage us to do. And there are ways to manipulate emotions and what would be called facts to get us to go in that direction of believing a lie. I think of 50 years ago how the communist governments here and there around the world told the citizens of those communist governments how well off they were, and and how bad capitalism was. But the world changed, and as those citizens became more aware of what capitalism and the capitalist economic system was about, well, they learned that it was a pretty good thing, and a lot of people wanted to come to a capitalist country, especially East Germany or America, or something else. Well, people in the communist countries, or the Iron Curtain countries, or something like that, they still had to profess to know and to believe the communist philosophy in order to keep their jobs. That's the way it was in those countries. Countries like Russia, Cuba, China, and the Eastern Zone, the Iron Curtain countries. And we Americans thought that, oh, such a thing could never happen in America. But in fact, it is happening here. It is happening in America, and it has its own unique American flavors. And we, the citizens, are getting used to it, all the while the school-aged children are believing those, their lies. And I think of the book 1984 by George Orwell, and I think of the fact checkers on Facebook, and I listen to the news that is designed to manipulate all of us. And I think about the 1984 book and the people who believe, well, it cannot happen here because we are America. And then I think to these recent months where there was a disinformation governance board created under the Office of Homeland Security. And I have to think of the book 1984. Do we have a truth, or do we have a lie? What are we believing anyway? The goal of that disinformation governance board is to make sure that misinformation is not disseminated, especially information which contradicts government policy or what a government agency might be telling us. So we've got some things going on here that are really something that is new to America, and we have to be aware of the goals of that disinformation governance board, which is to counter disinformation, again, which opposes government agency policy or what the agency is telling us. So we can see these are dangerous days to live in because our freedom and our liberty are being, well, in one sense or another, they are being attacked. And there are only a few champions who are willing to help us defend our freedom and our liberty. Basically, it comes down to what are we willing to do? Are we willing to defend our freedom and our liberty? You see, this is America, and America is the last place that has freedom and liberty. Look around the world. There is so much tyranny, and there are no other places of refuge for freedom and liberty. America is the last place that has a good significant amount of it. And there are a few European countries that have such principles in place, but it's certainly not America. It's much different. So let us please guard the freedom and liberty that we now have, and do not let any of it slip away. Our freedom and liberty is so important that we don't want to lose not one little bit of it. Please be aware of that. Please be watchful. Please do what you can to preserve our liberty and our freedom. I do talk to people, and I see the direction our world is going. I see the direction that our United States of America is going, and I wonder why more people do not see the deterioration of our rights and our liberties. I wonder why people do not look and cling to God through Jesus Christ. And I wonder if perhaps it is why, as the Bible says, there is a strong delusion. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 talks about that strong delusion. Is that the time we are in? Or are we simply confused enough that we do not understand what is truth and what is, call it propaganda or call it lies? I don't know. But I wonder why more people do not see the problems that are right at hand. I suppose, in my own thinking, I wonder if it is because the people are veiled and they cannot see the truth that relates to God, and then they cannot see the truth that relates to our freedom and our liberty and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Are that many people veiled? Well, I just wonder about it, and I have to say it just might be the case, because there are so many people who see the clear and present dangers, and there are so many people who do not see the clear and present dangers. So I just wonder about what is going on. My best explanation of it is that people are veiled in their understanding, and so they cannot see. So what do we do? We do the best we know how, and we also talk to people so that they will be aware of what we see. Now, we each seem to be aware of something or other that we may have seen in our heritage in the past, or we may have seen something in history. We've learned history, and we see that there is something going on right now that we should be aware of. But a lot of people don't have history, and they don't have heritage that they know about. And so, they do not recognize what is going on right now in the world. There are plenty of people who have come from a country that was starving, a country that had violence, a country that had war going on in it. Plenty of people. And so they can recognize that we are in a time of danger, that there are threats of violence, war, and famine, but others just don't see it. And why, that's just life, isn't it? It's the way things always are. Speaking of the way things always are, I think of 2 Peter 3:4 as an example of people believing that nothing will change. And we have a lot of people in this country who are so accustomed to things being easy and to Americans having freedom that they think nothing will ever change. But we know that things will change. Now, along that line, I also think of Matthew 6:34, where it says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough worries." Well, that's not the way I see the lessons in the Bible. I see the lessons in the Bible that there have been plenty of people who have used logic and reason to look ahead and to have a storehouse of all sorts of things, including food. That's what I have read in the Bible. And so, I think of 1 Chronicles 13:32 about the children of Issachar, the men who understand the times and know what to do. So I think that's a fine quality that we should all hope to have and pray to God to give us. Now today there are so many concerns across the world, concerns which could bring mass death to our world and our country and our neighborhood. There are weapons of war which we've always been concerned about. And yes, guns, tanks, poison gas, all of it. But now there are also nuclear weapons that have proliferated, and the countries like Russia and China have indicated that if it was appropriate, they would use their nuclear weapons against their enemies. So it's only right to look at that, the way I see it, as a possibility. So I think that's what the cautious man will do. And the reasonable man will look at what could happen. There are plenty of warnings that have been given to us about why it is wise to prepare. Just a week ago, Homeland Security issued a general warning that in the next 3 to 6 months, the USA can expect an increase in violence. And that notice was sent out to law enforcement agencies across the USA. So, is it true or is it not true? Well, look around you. Look at what's going on in the news. Look at what's going on in your neighborhood. See what is occurring and see what you maybe should be concerned about. Are we experiencing a decay of order and traditional values in the USA? And what about the state of our food supply in the USA? Well, there are so many people who are commenting on our food supply. People in the stores, people in the supply area. And they say, look out. There are shortages that are right here, right now. And sure, if we just go to our grocery store, they organize it in a way that it looks like there's food in the grocery store. So, we might not see that there is a food shortage right now. But there are people who see it, and if we listen to the suppliers, if we listen to the farmers, if we listen to the truckers, we can see that food of every sort is becoming harder to get and more expensive, whether it's animal feed or fuel for the farmer's equipment or the truckers. See, we've got things that are going on right now that should cause every one of us to be concerned about our food, including the cattle that are dying, including the crops that are having reduced yields. And you know about the chickens that are being eliminated, so we're set for an egg shortage and chicken meat. All sorts of things are attacking our system? They're attacking our food supply. And so, because we want to live, we need to have food, and it is up to each one of us to secure what we have and secure what we can acquire so that we have a means to live a little longer. Maybe that we will be growing our food, but to do that, we will need water, and water is something that is threatened. It is threatened for various reasons. Maybe it's the grid. Maybe it's the cyber attacks that are going on our water supply systems. There has been talk about the cyber attacks on the water systems, so that too much or too little of their additives would be added to the water. For instance, if there's too much fluoride added or too much chlorine, whatever it is, there is discussion about our water systems being cyber attacked. And so, is it prudent to have a supply of water? Well, of course it is. And I think we ought to do that, because our system is under attack, really. It really is. Look around and see if you don't see that that can be true. And a year and a half ago, on November 7th, I read an open letter from an ambassador who is called an annuncio. His name was Carlo Vigano from the Vatican to the United States, and he wrote an open letter to President Trump. And in that letter, he talked about the things that would be going on that would be, in effect, an attack on the United States. Again, that was on the November 7th, 2020 Christ Today broadcast. So we know there is so much going on, and yet we still have a little time to prepare right now. We can still buy food. It's not like in the communist countries where there was a great big lack of food and people would only buy what they could, which was whatever was in stock. You couldn't buy supplies. You couldn't buy tires for your car. You had to wait the appropriate number of years to buy all sorts of things. And that's the way the communist system was. Well, it happened here? It seems to be happening. So we will see what we see. I do wonder what's coming, and I think about the prophetic people that I have heard. And I will say again, that it's not that I believe the prophetic people, but I will listen to them and make a note of what they have said, and see if it can be sensible, especially when there are a number of people who, in a prophetic sense, say the same thing. Then I give it a little more weight, and I remember it. I think back 30 years ago, there was a Romanian pastor named Dumitru Dudeman, and he was very greatly tortured for his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in Romania, he was one of the things that happened to him, that he was electrocuted so bad that his teeth fell out. And that was one of the tortures that he endured. But what was interesting about him is he told about future events according to what he was told by an angel. And that certain countries would attack America, and America would burn. Well, look him up if you want, Dumitru Dudeman. And a part of his testimony includes the countries that would attack America. And, well, one of them was Nicaragua. And one of the things that just happened last week was Nicaragua was in the news because they had reached an agreement with Russia to allow Russia to have their land, sea, and air assets of the Russian military free to use Nicaragua. And when I heard that, I remembered that prophecy, and I wondered, could this be coming to pass in these soon days? Would America be attacked? And by the way, Mexico was a part of the countries that were attacking the United States. So, it's a very interesting thing to try to put together. There have been other people who have had a prophetic word, and they have said this same sort of a thing. Well, it's not that I mean to say I believe it, but I certainly believe it could be true, especially when other people agree with it. I remember Henry Groover has a history of being paid attention to as a prophet. He said a similar theme. So did Chuck Youngbrandt, so did Daniel Rhodes, and other prophetic people too. So it's not something that I can say, oh, this is going to happen, but it is something that I will say, it sure might be true. So just prepare for, in case it is. Do a little preparation. Now, I also think of the visions of George Washington that could fit right into this same theme very nicely. He saw America being invaded by dark forces, and America had a life and death battle going on all across America, and eventually the dark forces were driven from America after a great life and death battle and struggle. So, again, the prophetic people doesn't mean I believe them, but when things keep adding up and coming together as a reasonable look, I give it a reasonable look. And then just last year, there were the dreams of Pastor Dana Coverstone. And he talked about banks failing and money blowing in the streets as though it had no value. So we have things going on. We can listen to what just might be the case. And, oh, you can look up these people if you're interested. That's why I give you their names. And there is reasons to believe in a financial way and even in a prophetic way that America could fail. Because America, of course, will have consequences for turning away from the God of the Bible and embracing that which God opposes. Now, we have seen in history other nations have been judged for doing what God opposes. In America, what will happen to America? Will America receive harsh consequences? Well, it sure is a good possibility. And so I say, prepare to stay alive through some very difficult times, so that we can share the hope and the good news of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and amen. See, that's really what I see we are here for, is to share the good news of the gospel, and a part of that can be our testimony of what we have experienced in life and what God has done for us in our relation with God Jesus. So, yeah, we can wonder what is coming, and we can know that there are going to be consequences for what we have done. We can look at it in a big picture way, like having wars and famines that affect us, and we can look at it in a small picture way where things will affect us personally, and our family, and our neighborhood. Just things can happen. I was thinking there was the what's that called? The Stockholm Institute that studies the risks of war and nuclear war. And they just said, again, last week, they said that there has never been a greater time of threat than today for a nuclear war to occur. And now we see the USA is injecting itself into areas of Russia and the Ukraine and China and Taiwan. And so we can see clearly that there is a threat of war when you see Russia and China have both threatened the United States in a pretty serious way. Well, just last week it was China that talked about them not backing down from the Taiwan issue, that they would fight to the death for Taiwan. And of course, that Biden, he said that the United States would fight for Taiwan. So that could be a conflict right there, another one that we would be involved with. So what is it wise for us to see as possibilities? It's a good question, and speaking about a war going on, I do think that we have sent so much war materials overseas that we may need to quickly restore our storehouse of weapons in case we need to use them. Weapons of war. Yes, let's store them up again so that we have them if we need them. And a part of our country's problem with inflation comes from Congress that has been spending so much money that it does not have, and our debt simply grows and grows as we print more and more money that is backed by nothing except faith in the government. Oh boy, sounds like a serious inflation problem is coming to our country. And people are seeing that as truth and saying, look out, get prepared. We just might have some hyperinflation coming our way. And then we have the energy decisions that that Biden has made, including the XL pipeline and talking about electric vehicles. I hope he uses an electric solar panels to fly his Air Force One if he feels that strongly about it. It's just all sorts of things are in the works, and we could be hurt terrifically. We Americans have become so accustomed to having everything we want and everything we need that we sit back in our chairs and we watch what's going on, not concerned that we may have a physical need, something as simple as food and water. Well, it's time to get off of our chairs, our easy chairs, and do something. We can only watch so long as our country deteriorates. We can only watch so long as our money loses its value. As the millions of illegals cross our southern border to live in the USA, and I do wonder, now, I haven't seen evidence of this from any other source, but I wonder if the millions of immigrants that are coming across our southern border, who are largely not Mexican, but from every country on earth, from Saudi Arabia to Ukraine to Russia and Central and South America, that's who most of the people crossing the southern border are. I have wondered if the influx of people coming to the United States, and they all need a place to live, and I wonder if that is why our rental housing market is increasing so much. Now, I don't know that, but I wonder. I mean, it makes sense to me. Is there a shortage of housing going on right now? Well, there could be. There really could be. And it just helps, I think, for each one of us to be aware of what the true situation is. And one of the true situations is our food supply is threatened. You know that Ukraine and Russia has so much of our world's supply of wheat and beans and other grains. And there's people who say Russia will force the world to allow Ukraine to become a part of Russia just by forcing starvation upon the world. Well, no, I don't know that, but I think it's logical. It certainly could happen. And what are we going to do about it? Good question. I don't know what we're going to do about it. We already have enough problems with getting what we need. Our supply chain is full of shortages of everything, of all sorts of supplies, including food, and you could call energy being on that list too. See, the farmers are having trouble getting tires for the tractors. There's a problem of getting diesel fuel to run the combines and belts and hoses for the pickup trucks of the farmers, and diesel fuel for the semi-trucks and for the farm equipment. So we are having shortages that are just getting ready to really hit us hard now in the next few months. And another concern is the threat of cyber attacks, especially on our electrical grid. And so few people have been aware of this, but if you listen, you will hear there are people who say, and Peter Pry of the Congressional Committee is one of the people that has been shouting this for more than 10 years. There are people who have shouted the warning that our electrical grid is in danger, and now there are even some people who have been saying copper wire flown on by drones that could cause shortages on our electric lines. I mean, there are people who really do want to sabotage our country and bring it down. Yes, some of them are foreign, some of them are domestic, and we had better be prepared for all sorts of troubles, including for our grid to go down for weeks, maybe longer. So get those preparedness items that make sense to you. We all have an idea of what is practical, but do always consider. Always, always, always remember you need drinking water. And, I think of that military people saying, you can go 3 days without water until you die. Well, I'll tell you the other military people who talk about going without water for 1 day makes it difficult for a person to think, and it also makes your body not function as well and efficiently. So, you want to say 3 days without water? Oh, don't even think of it. You need water every day. Every day. So, I hope you consider having a store of drinking water, and I think it's very important to have a water filter, whether it's the big Berkey that is terrific or that little Sawyer water filter. Have something. I also think about a week ago or two, a couple of weeks ago, there was Japan that just shipped 33 large water filters to Odessa. So, yeah, every country knows that we need water. Ukraine knows it. Oh, every country knows it. And clean drinking water is essential to us. It's really hard to function if you have a real bout of diarrhea. So, drinking water is why, in a natural disaster, hundreds of cases of drinking water are sent to a disaster site. And so we can just remember that and pay attention to what we could very well be needing in short order. So yeah, that big Berkey, it's a little more expensive, and I hope if you get that, you have extra water filters. Oh, that could be a $500 investment. Okay, it's better than death, isn't it? So that's a good one. That's my recommendation. But if you have nothing else, at least have that little Sawyer water filter that will not be adequate, but it will do something. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do if we have that great big failure, a great big, call it a collapse, sure. Well, what have other countries done in history? Well, you might also ask, what has God commanded people to do? Well, he's commanded that people know and love God and know and love your neighbor. It's not an easy thing to do when there are so many things going on in our physical world, even a famine or a military overthrow. But that is what we are to do. Remember God and the love of God for him and for our neighbor. We're commanded for that. I do think of some of the other countries that have had problems. Of course, I think of Ukraine and Afghanistan. I think of how they had needs. Yes, for water. They also had need for rifles. So, it's a good question of how do we prepare. I don't mean to tell you I know. I don't know. All I know is that happened for them. And I know that there's a certain thinking that if you have a rifle, you need 300 rounds of ammunition. And if you have a, what do they call them, a pistol, you need 100 rounds of ammo, just for normal. And all those kind of people who believe those things say that everybody needs a night vision device, because in today's modern, call it warfare, night vision devices are so common that you would need one also. So, that's an individual choice as to what you would do, what you will get. I really don't have any comment on it except to say, this is what I hear. And I do think there's things that everybody should have, like I said, water, food, and warmth. And I think that regular flashlight batteries are another good thing to have. Or get rechargeable flashlight batteries. See, these are things that we will depend on if we ever do have some difficult time coming to America. And I do remind you that the greatest preparedness item that we all need to have is situational awareness. So think about that one. Situational awareness is always something we need. We need it to be present in our day-to-day life. And you know that if you go to the store, you're distracted. If you have kids, you're distracted. If you have something fall, you're distracted. If you're threatened, you're distracted. And we must pay attention to the clear and present threats and have an idea of what we would do if we were threatened. That's situational awareness. And I'm thinking of somebody who did not have situational awareness, even though he came through many wars in the Middle East battlefields. You've heard of Lawrence of Arabia. Let me tell you how he died. He died when he felt comfortable and at ease. He had returned from the wars in the Middle East, and he felt at home in London. So, he stepped off a sidewalk to cross the street, and he was struck by a motorbike. And he died right there on the street. Situational awareness, we all need it. Even a warrior like Lawrence of Arabia needed to keep his situational awareness. And for us, we don't know what we're going to deal with. We really can only guess what's going to come our way. But that's life. We get distracted by everything around us, and we have to remember to pay attention to what is real and evaluate what could happen and evaluate how we would respond to something that might come our way, it like a simple threat or a more complex threat. How do we deal with it? And how do we avoid whatever trouble could be coming our way? That's situational awareness. So, I like to think of, you might have 2 seconds to think and react, or you might have 2 minutes to think and react. Well, do think and do the just-in-case thinking for what you would do to practice that situational awareness. You might want to, if you have 2 minutes, you might want to stop, look, listen, think, smell, and stay calm and pay attention to what is going on around you. Now that's if you have enough time. You might only have 2 seconds. 2 seconds to examine how to act and what to do. Well, you always have to be prepared for the serious things that are coming. And in that case, you might have to act with great fury and great violence at the evil that is coming your way. That just very well may be right and justified. So, practice your thinking, practice your awareness, practice considering what you would do if the just-in-case happens. And another thing that I think is highly important is to say that little prayer to God in that moment of great concern. Say something like, Lord, guide me. Lord, help me. So that's my simple analysis of situational awareness. After all, there's always a time for one thing or another. Ecclesiastes 3 says there is a time for peace and a time for war. And it continues. So, you get to look it up and you get to think, at what time are you in at that moment? Is it a good time for the economy? Is it a good time for hyperinflation? Is it a good time for law and order? Or is it a good time for decay and hyperinflation? Well, do that thinking and consider what could be coming your way in days or weeks or months. Consider what you would do. And of course, please stay calm, because when trouble comes, it is always better to do things in a rational and considered manner. I was just thinking of the 6/11/22 broadcast of Christ Today about things that could be coming our way. Well, I like that broadcast, so I mention it again. Well, I'll just say another thing is that water is essential to life, and I will remind you that I like to remember water, food, and warmth. They are essential for getting by. Wherever you are, whether it's in your home or in your car, or if you are bugging out with a backpack, wherever you are, you need your supplies, or certainly you need water, food, and warmth. So, give that a consideration as you consider what just might be coming our way. We still are in times when we can buy things. We can go to the store, and we can buy quite a few things. Now, there's a lot that we can't buy. They are out of stock. They can't get any more in. And so right now might be the time for you to go out and get what you consider is necessary, as we are coming quickly to a time of shortages and of disasters. Well, that's what I see coming. Disasters of one sort or another. Yes, it's spiritual. It's physical. It's everything. And somehow we have to look at what's going on around us. We can see what's in the news. We can see what's in our neighborhood. We can see that there have been, 97 or 100 processing plants that process food that have either been shut down by an accident or they have been destroyed by completely burning down. What is going on with our food supply? Do you know? No, but it's going on in other parts of the world also. Our food processing plants that process food, especially for long term, are being destroyed. So this might be the time of crisis for you to do something. And I do mean do something. Don't just look at it happening. Don't just say, oh, wow, another one is gone. No, it's time for action, and it's time for you to act. It's time for you to do something, because the unprepared person, well, it won't turn out good for them, and you don't want to be that person. Nobody wants to be around an unprepared person in bad times. So get what you need for you, for your family, so that you can live another day. Yes, to preach the good news of the gospel. Yes, to do good things for your neighbors. But somehow you want to stay alive for a little longer. And you don't want to have people suffer through the shortages. The baby food shortage was one of them. Oh, there are just so many. So many shortages are here right now. And we don't want to have that unfortunate pattern affect us in our life. That is just so true. Be aware of the patterns. They are common. They are common in history, and they are common around the world right now. So look and see what's going on and make smart decisions. Because there are shortages. There are troubles going on. You know, in history, we have had martyrs in history. And right now, that's another thing that is going on. We are having a pattern of martyrdom all across the world. Now, a lot of Christians don't want to be a martyr. Well, if you're going to die, everybody's going to die. Isn't it best to put that to the best use that we possibly can and let that be a glory to God in our testimony? To be a martyr? Yeah, I think that in the past you can look at the examples of martyrs and you can see that God has given them the gift of not feeling pain as they went through death. So I just think of martyrs in the world. It's real, and we might even be a martyr. It's something that we ought to consider for the just in case. So many people today are suffering significant persecution. In fact, World Watch reports that last year, 1 in 7 believers around the world suffered significant persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. The same World Report said that in 2021, every day, 16 believers were killed for their faith. 16 believers a day. 6,000 martyrs a year worldwide in 2021. Well, sometimes there's just no escaping it, and we have to be aware of that. In some countries, their identification cards list their religion. And so, when you're asked for your identity card, your religion is obvious, and that can also be a source of persecution. Why, there's tens of thousands of imprisoned Christians around the world. And there are attacks on churches. That is common also. So pray for your church, the people in your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your family. Pray for all sorts of people. Pray for the martyrs, 16 a day, 6,000 a year. And pray for their churches. Pray for their families, that God blesses the families of the people that were taken in martyrdom. There are just all sorts of reasons for us to pray for the people we know and the people of faith. So, yes, please, please pray. I know this was 10 or a dozen years ago. I went to Thailand with the apologist Paul Carden, and we preached to children, to the churches, and to people who were going out to other countries to become missionaries. And they went to countries where Christians and Christianity was persecuted. So I still wonder about those people who put their lives on the line for Jesus. And we also may be asked at one point, one day, to put our life on the line as a testimony for Jesus. So that's something which, well, do we believe? Yes, we believe in God, Jesus, and the Bible. And so we know that as a matter of loving God and loving our neighbor, we may be called upon to do something like that. All right. Now, I invite everyone to listen to any past broadcast that they would like. It's at www.christtoday.org, all lowercase and no spaces. By the way, I do like that 6/11/22 broadcast. I also like the 3/5/22 broadcast. So if you want to listen to any past ones, please do. And remember the people who are in need of prayer. People who are believers, people who are pastors, people who are non-believers. They need Jesus, and they need prayer. So let's remember to have an active prayer life as often as we possibly can. Even pray without ceasing. Oh, for my free preparedness pamphlet, just write me and send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll get that right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. God bless you, and let us remember to pray for one another.